Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, good morning. Hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day last week. How many had a good Mother's Day? Good, good. Maybe some of you enjoyed the beautiful weather and you went out and planted the Mother's Day gift that we gave you, that little cactus, or maybe you just got it in your house, you're just looking at that cute little thing. But speaking of that gift, I need to make an apology because when we talked about that, I made a statement about they were only for biological ladies. And it was a flippant offhand remark, but it was wrong. Because here's the thing. If you have a friend or a family member of that persuasion, then I can understand how that remark would make them uncomfortable. And you would not want them to be here for that. And I don't want anyone to feel like you can't bring anyone. The gospel is for all people. Jesus is for all people. And we want to be a welcoming church. So I apologize for making that remark. There is a right way and a wrong way to address that topic. And we will be talking about transgenderism later on in the summer in our Hot Topics series, because that was there was a few questions that came from you wanting us to address that, to talk about that, wanting a better understanding. So we'll be doing that in the Hot Topics series. But when we address these kinds of issues with sarcasm and jokes, it's not respecting and honoring and loving people. And so we need to be very careful, and I'm working at being better, and I just ask for your forgiveness, and I'm sorry about that. So I want to share with you a wonderful development that has happened. It just took place this week. We are in the process of planning an outreach, a children's outreach this fall, the beginning of October, and it's going to be a fall festival. We're going to have inflatables, free lunch, lots of carnival games. In fact, Pastor Mike is putting together a bunch of games, and we're asking you to put together the booth, to decorate it. If you want to dress up in a costume that goes with your booth, you can. But to run these different carnival games, and we're going to have lots of candy. Every booth will be giving out candy. But as part of this outreach, we wanted to purchase a 50-foot obstacle course that's an inflatable obstacle course, and then also get a sound system, a wireless battery-powered sound system that can go right outside the doors, so as people are walking up to the church and we're welcoming them, we can have music and different things playing. And the cost for both of those things is about $6,000. And Pastor Mike applied for a grant from iHeart of Wyoming, and this week we received a check for $6,000 for the inflatable and the sound system. So thank God for that. And you can be praying about that, the fall festival we're having, and also about how you can be a part. We're going to need people to run booths, to help serve food, to greet, to welcome, probably to empty trash, as we're going to do it on a Saturday afternoon, and just believing for a really, really great time reaching out and touching the kids of our community. Way down in the deep south, there was a big tent revival. And a man named Bubba decided he was going to go to it. So he went and he listened to the preacher. And after a while into the message, the preacher stopped and he says, "Now there may be some of you here who have needs. If anyone has a need, I'd like you to come down front so that we can pray for you." So Bubba gets up, comes down front, stands in line and waits his turn. Finally, it's his turn. And the preacher comes up to him and says, "So how can I pray for you?" And Bubba says, "Preacher, I want you to pray for my hearing." And so the preacher, he sticks out his hands and he puts them on Bubba's ears and he just starts praying. And after a few minutes, he takes his hands away and says, "How's your hearing, son?" And Bubba says, "I don't know, preacher. It's next Wednesday down in Baton Rouge." How many of you know it's important to listen and to ask questions, huh? It's important to do that. And that's going to be our topic today as we are on part two of the 9 arts of spiritual conversations. We're going to talk about listening and asking questions. And I want to welcome everyone here who's in the house. Welcome those who are online. Thank you for being with us today. We're glad that you're with us. And maybe you're here and you're not a Christ follower yet. Maybe you've got questions. And you know what? It's okay to have questions. It's okay to have questions. This is a safe place for you to have questions. When I was in Bible college studying to be a pastor, in my freshman year, the second semester, I came to this place where I started to question. It's like, okay, how do I know that what my pastor and my parents have said all these years is true, it's really real, it's not something they made up or something someone else made up and they're just passing it on? How do I know God's real? How do I know that Christianity is true? How do I know the Bible is trustworthy? How do I know these things? I mean, I'm studying to be a pastor. If this isn't true, I can't share it with others. And I mean, it's kind of a quandary. You're studying to be a pastor, but you don't know if what you're studying is really true. And so I'm praying, I'm seeking God, and one of the things, one of the processes God took me to is searching through history, searching through archaeology, searching through different things that show evidence. And there was a great book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. Since then, it's been revised by both Josh and his son, I think it's Sean or Seth, one of those, but they have written this fantastic book that shares evidence from history, archaeology, evidence that Christianity, the Bible, is true. Jesus really did exist. He did die, and he rose again from the dead. It's not a myth or a legend. And as I went through that process and did the study, my questions were answered. And it is okay to have questions. And if you're not ready to receive Christ, that's okay. God wants to walk you through it, because here's the thing. God wants a relationship with each of us. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He loves us. He wants a relationship. And you can't force someone into a relationship. You don't come up to someone and put them in a half Nelson or an arm grip, put them behind their back, say, okay, you got to love me. You can't force someone. God wants us to come to him on our own terms when we're ready. We're actually on his terms when we're ready. We accept his terms. So I just want you to know it's okay to have questions, and it's okay. This is a safe place to ask those questions. And today we're going to be talking about listening and asking questions as we share our faith. Because here's the thing. Most of us, if we've tried to be trained in evangelism, how do we share the good news of what Jesus has done with us with others? And I'm praying that through this series of the Arts of Spiritual Conversation, as we learn and grow in these arts, that Jesus is going to open up doors for all of us to share with others what he's done for us, how he's changed our lives, how he's helped us. And as we do that, my prayer is that we grow and others come to know him. But most of us, in our training, we've been taught to talk and to give answers, not to listen and to ask questions. When you think about it, you know, a lot of times people memorize a gospel presentation, maybe something like Romans Road, if you're familiar with that, or the bridge illustration, and I've drawn that before. I've shared that in our services, if you're familiar with that. Or maybe the ABCs of salvation. The letter A stands for admit that you're a sinner. Realize that you're not perfect. You don't measure up to God's standard of complete purity, perfection, and holiness. B stands for believe. You believe that Jesus died in your place. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Jesus died for my sin. He died for your sin. And because of that, we can go to heaven and live with him forever instead of spending eternity in suffering and torment in hell. And then the letter C is to confess. Confess our sin and our need for Jesus to lead our life. And when we admit, believe, and confess, that's how we enter into a relationship with God. And so we learn and memorize these different gospel presentations, but it's all about us doing the talking, us doing the sharing. It's not about us listening to see where other people are at. What are their struggles? What are their questions? What are their issues that they're wrestling with in life? What are the hurts they're dealing with? Maybe even they've been hurt by the church or other Christians. And how do they overcome those? We need to listen and ask questions. The problem is, from the time we're little on, we've been trained to give answers, to give solutions. For example, a parent holds up a lemon. Johnny, what is this? A lemon. What color is it? Yellow. That's right. Then you hold up an orange. What color is this? Orange. Very good. You go to school. The teacher, what's 1 plus 1? 2. 2 plus 2? 4. You know, and you, very good. You get praise. You get the star on the calendar. From the time we're little as kids up, even as adults, we are praised and rewarded for giving answers. We need to learn how to develop questions. Why are they important? Take a look in your notes this morning. They're on the back of your worship program. It says, if we want the story of what God has done in our lives to be heard by open hearts, we must first earn the right to be heard. We must first earn the right to be heard. And that starts with really the 9 arts of spiritual conversation. We've got 9 different squares up here. The first 2 we talked about last week is we need to notice people, notice their needs, what are they dealing with, and then we pray for them. The next one is listening. After we've noticed and prayed, then we want to listen to people, genuinely listen so that we can understand them. And better understanding comes from asking questions. When we ask questions as we listen, then we can engage people in meaningful conversation. And so today, that's what we want to do is look at these next 2, numbers 3 and 4, listening and asking questions. Looking at listening, number 3 in your notes, letter A, listening is interpreted as love. Listening is interpreted as love. When you listen to someone, you're valuing that person and their perspective. How many of you, maybe you've been working on a project, maybe it's balancing a checkbook, or maybe you're changing out a bad light switch, or maybe you're watching the game or a TV show, and your spouse or one of your kids starts talking to you, and they ask a question, and you respond, uh-huh. Now, you have no idea what you just said uh-huh to, but you said uh-huh because you know they're talking, but you're not listening. How does that make them feel? Let's flip it around and turn the tables. Let's say you're the one talking to them. You're talking to your kids. Hey, I need you to take out the trash. Uh-huh. And you know they didn't hear you. How does that make you feel? I said, take out the trash. I said, clean up your room. I said, you know, and so it makes us upset. When we don't listen, we're not valuing people. And so when we listen to others genuinely, we're showing them, hey, I value you. I care about you. We love people by listening to them. Listening is interpreted as love. We know that God loves us because, letter B, God listens to us. God listens to us. As you read the Bible over and over and over again, we see how God listens to the cries of his people. In Psalm 107, God is talking about the children of Israel who, even in their rebellion, after they're relieved from slavery in Egypt, they're supposed to go right into the promised land, but they disobeyed God, and so they have to spend 40 years in the wilderness. Even though they're rebelling against God, whenever they cry out to God, God hears them and he answers them. Psalm 107, verse 19 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. That verse is talking about the children of Israel there in the wilderness. God hears the cries of his people, and he rescues them. God hears your cry, my cry, the cry of those who are watching us online. God hears your cry, and he answers our cries. In your notes this morning, when we listen to others, we are simply modeling what we've already received. When we listen to other people, we're modeling what we've received from God. When we cry out for grace, God listens and he forgives. When we cry out for healing, God heals. When we cry out from loneliness and despair, God draws near. When we cry out with a problem, God helps us. You see, when we listen to others, we're just modeling what Jesus has already done for us. We cry out to him, and he answers our prayers. How many of you've prayed, and God has answered a prayer for you before? That's awesome. Hopefully, every hand is up. Maybe some of you haven't had an answer to prayer, maybe because you haven't prayed, I want you to know God answers prayer. He doesn't always answer it the way I want. There's three ways he answers. Sometimes he answers yes. I like it when he answers yes. We all like that. Sometimes he answers no. I don't really like that, but you know what? His ways are higher than my ways, the Bible says in Isaiah, and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. God knows what we need. And sometimes the answer is, wait. Not now, just wait. And maybe you won't even see it on planet Earth. You will see it, that healing, up in heaven. We need to be realizing that God loves us, and I don't always understand. That's a question I've got that is still hard to answer. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there suffering in the world? I know there's suffering because of sin, but how come someone who's following God, loves God, God doesn't heal them of cancer? God doesn't give them a child when they want a child, and others have kids who don't care about them, neglect them, abuse them. There's a lot of things that don't make sense. But we need to trust God and pray to Him. I encourage you to pray to God because He loves you and He will help you. Might be yes, might be no, might be nay, maybe, but God loves you and He cares about you. In the New Testament book of James, the author James, he starts his letter by talking to the church about recognizing God's goodness in trials. In fact, he says, count it all joy when you encounter trials of various kinds. Now, I don't know about you, but that just seems weird. That's just, you know, upside down. Count every problem, every trial as joy. And what's interesting is that as he continues to go on and he's talking to the church of Jerusalem about the trials and the persecution, the suffering they're going through, then he says, I want you to listen to people. In verse 19, just a few verses after he says, count it all joy, he says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now that seems like a strange pivot point. That when you're facing trials, I want you to count it all joy, but then also listen to others. Why is that? Because in your notes today, everyone faces trials and everyone needs someone to talk to. How many of you have gone through a situation, a really difficult time, and when you talk to someone about it and they genuinely listen, it makes you feel better. It takes that load off. Yeah, there's a saying that says, a burden shared is cut in half, a joy shared is doubled. And I found that to be true. When I'm going through a problem and I share it with someone who I know is going to listen, someone who I trust, someone who is going to be genuine and cares, it helps me. But here's the thing. Not everyone in the world has that. Not everyone in the world has a listening community. A lot of people in the world who are outside of the church, outside of our families, they don't have someone that they can talk to in their problems. So you and I can be the listeners. And we can listen and we can care. And we need to be careful about giving quick answers as we're listening. I admit, I have a problem listening. I'm a fixer. I like to fix things. When Rebecca and I were first married, she'd be upset, she'd be crying. I'd say, honey, what's wrong? And I'd listen, and then I would dive right in and say, well, let's fix it. Let's do this. You can do that. We can do this. And she'd say, I don't want you to solve it. I just want you to listen. How many men have encountered that before? Your wife doesn't want you to fix the problem. She just wants you to hear her and to hold her, huh? And so I am learning that now when she shares a problem with me, I need to say, honey, you want me just to listen or do you want me to fix it? You know, I've learned I should ask because sometimes she wants it fixed. Sometimes she says, I just want you to listen. Sometimes first listen and hug me, then fix it, okay? So I am learning. I am growing. I'm getting smarter, right? Just a marriage tip for all the guys, the single guys who want to be married someday. That's a good one, all right? I just gave you gold there. That is a nugget. All the ladies said, amen. This is what James said in James 1:19. My brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We need to be quick to listen. A lot of times, we're slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to get angry. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German pastor and theologian who died in a Nazi concentration camp, wrote this: many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They do not find it among Christians because Christians are talking where they should be listening. Proverbs 18:13 says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. If we're just giving our opinions and our answers without listening to the struggles and the problems and the issues that other people have, we're doing them a disservice. We're not genuinely caring them. We're acting foolishly. We need to listen. And so I want to give you four quick lessons on listening, okay? We're going to go through these pretty quick. Most of them are already there, written out, so you don't have to write them down. The first one is, don't just listen for your turn to talk. Don't just listen for your turn to talk. Listening is not waiting for a break in the conversation so that you can put your two cents in. How many have ever been in a conversation like that? You're waiting, you can see the person, they're almost like, you know, they're just ready to spill it out. They're just ready. Friends, that's not listening. That's not listening. Number two, ask relevant questions that are focused on the speaker. We're going to talk about that under the questions section. Number three, don't interject your thoughts or self-referential comments. There's times I've been talking to someone, maybe sharing about an issue, a problem I've got, and when I get done, instead of them responding to that, they start talking about their problem. They take what I have to turn around and use it as a platform for their issue or their problem, and now the conversation becomes all about them. They stole my story. How many have ever had someone steal your story before? Yeah. You know, when we're listening, don't steal someone's story. Don't hear their problem and then neglect it and start talking about yourself. That's a big key for listening. And then number four, listen beyond the surface of one's comments and objections for deeper questions. Look beyond the surface. A lot of times there's a deeper issue when they're expressing an objection or maybe making a derogatory or negative or cynical comment. In their book, The Nine Arts of Spiritual Conversations, which is what we're basing this series on, it's by Mary Schaller and John Crelley. They write this observation, and before I read it, I just want you to consider getting that book. I purchased the book, I've been reading it, and it's really opened my eyes to showing me a new way to share my faith. And a few weeks ago, and I got that book in this series from Don Ross, who was here when he talked about my mission list. Who are people I want to see come to know the goodness of God in the next 2 years? And that book is just kind of reframing and helping me to think in a different way about how to share my faith and God's goodness and love with other people. But Schaller and Crilly wrote this: someone's objections about things like the truth of the Bible or the mystery of pain and suffering may be expressed as philosophical questions, but people rarely think only in theoretical terms. If someone questions God's fairness, it's often because something has happened to him or her that feels unfair, though that person may not feel safe enough to share the specifics. Suffering or hurt caused by another Christian can also be a smokescreen for the real issue, which often takes trust and time to discover. You may have to build the relational equity to earn the right to dialogue about it. Let me ask you this. Are you quick to share your opinion with other people? Do you jump into giving solutions before you're asked for them? Or do you dismiss someone's concerns and say, they're not valid, don't worry about it, it doesn't matter? Do you join in someone's pity party only to turn it to your pity party? Friends, none of these things help us listen to people and build relationship and show God's love. When we listen to people, We're showing God's love because God listens to us. We need to listen to others. So that is what we have about listening. There is a quote by Alice Freiling on the spiritual art of listening. She says, if I want to listen well with love and awe, I need to let go of my need to be right. Wow. I need to let go of many preconceived opinions. I need to let go of my own self-consciousness and insecurities, and I need to let go of the need to appear wise, good, or even spiritual. That's some good advice there about listening. For us to be engaged in conversations with people, we need to listen so that we can understand them, and we understand them better by asking meaningful questions. So let's look at number four, asking questions. Just as when we listen to people, we're communicating God's love to them, when we ask meaningful questions, then we are communicating God's love to them. It's interesting that God, who knows everything, He's all-knowing, He still asks people questions. We see that in the very first instance with Genesis chapter 3, when God asks Adam and Eve a very powerful question. In fact, not one, but a series of three questions. What took place is that the serpent has deceived Eve, and both she and Adam have eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil that they weren't supposed to. They've sinned, and God comes looking for them, and they're ashamed. They know immediately we've done wrong. They realize we're naked. They cover themselves up. They make coverings, and God comes looking for them. And this is what happens. Look, take a look at verse 8. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? So God said, where are you? Who told you were naked? Did you eat from the tree? God asked questions, even though he knew what they did. Now the question is, why did God ask questions? The reason for that is he wanted to know Adam and Eve. I mean, God could have came down and said, you idiots! You did it! Wham! Or just like, get out of here! I don't want anything to do with you! No, by God asking questions, Adam and Eve realized he doesn't want to destroy us. He's not going to abandon us, but he's engaging us. He's reaching out to us in relationship. God was establishing a dialogue through questions, and he was trying to bring them to the realization of where they were at and of what they had done, because only when you realize where you're at and what you have done, when you realize the issues that you have, only then can you deal with them. And for them, it was the issue of sin. And God, as you read further on, God talks about the consequences of sin, but he also loves them, he cares for them, he provides for them. And so God asks questions. And for us, when we ask people questions, we're communicating that God loves you. We're just not talking, we're just not sharing, but we want to find out more about you. Jesus asked a lot of questions. In fact, someone, and it was kind of funny, I Googled online, how many questions did Jesus ask? I found multiple answers, okay? But a few of them said over 300 questions are recorded in the Bible that Jesus asked. That's a lot of questions. Jesus was a master at asking questions. And there are four types of questions that we want to look at that Jesus asked. This is not a comprehensive list, but I found that it is beneficial and can help us in developing meaningful conversations with people. So number one is informing questions. Informing questions. And we see informing questions in Mark chapter 8, verse 5. How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. So now, even though Jesus was the Son of God, he still needed to gather information. How many loaves? And he's about to do one of the greatest miracles, feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. Theologians think there were probably at least 15,000 people that were fed that day. But Jesus started it all off by asking a question to gather information. And that's one of the first things that we need to do, is to gather information about people. I shared with you last week how one of our, or a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the beginning of this series, in college we had to go on the streets and do witnessing, do evangelism. We did not gather any information at all. We knew nothing about people. You know, we're just saying, hey, get right with God. You know, we weren't out there holding signs saying, repent, the end of the world is coming, but it was closed. It's not like the guy who's on the beach holding a sign that says, turn or burn, which also applies to getting a sunburn, not just turn from your sin or you're going to hell, but you know, we need to gather information. So we need to ask informing questions, learning about people, building a relationship. Second kind of question that Jesus asked was discerning questions. We see a discerning question in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. Then Jesus asked them, who do you say I am? Jesus used this specific question to reveal what was in Peter's heart. Peter was one of his disciples, and Peter said, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You're the Christ. That question caused a revelation for Peter to disclose this. And when we sometimes ask questions like, what do you think of this? What's your opinion about this? It gives people an opportunity to share and to uncover where they're really at. And so those are good questions to ask. Question number three is a teaching question. Jesus asked a teaching question in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, that's kind of a rhetorical question. The answer is no, we know that. And a teaching question is a rhetorical question where the answer is obvious, but what it does, it causes you to think and reflect more about your life. And you realize, yeah, what good does worry do? And Jesus asked teaching questions, and these questions can help people identify things they're struggling with. And so ask a teaching question. And then number four, the fourth kind of question Jesus asked was challenging questions. Challenging questions. In Matthew 8, 26, Jesus replied to them, you have little faith, why are you so afraid? The setting of this question is that Jesus was asleep in a boat with his disciples. There's a big storm. They woke him up and they said, oh, you of little faith, why are you afraid? Jesus challenges them. He knows that their faith is just in seed form. The faith needs to be developed, needs to be formed. So he asked this question to kind of push them, to show them that they needed to grow in this area. And challenging questions challenge people and help them see where they need to grow. But the thing is, you just don't enter into a challenging question right off the bat. You have to earn the right to ask that type of question. You first got to start out with informing and finding out about people. It takes time to effectively share the good news of Jesus Christ. When we just launch into talking without asking questions, having our own agenda, it's really being, in a way, selfish. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking out for your own interest, but each of you for the interest of others. How many of you ever had someone ask you a question, but they had an agenda behind it? They were setting you up for something. How many have been there and done that? And doesn't that just kind of tick you off? I mean, it doesn't sit well, but we can do that as we're trying to share the faith with those people who have not yet received Christ. We're setting them up. Make sure you don't have an agenda. Genuinely care about people. In your notes there's some things about what a good question looks like. Good questions originate from curiosity and a genuine interest in another person. They're open-ended. So they start with who, what, why, how. They're concise. They don't come out of nowhere. They're not about a topic that you just introduce a whole new topic. They're connected to something that you've already been talking about. And last of all, they help people feel safe and understood. People don't feel attacked when you ask it, or they don't feel like you're their project. When we ask questions and we're willing to ask questions of others, it opens the door for spiritual conversations. And I realize you say, I'm not sure how to do this. We just had a word, the message in tongues and interpretation, that talked about an anointing that God wants to give you. That anointing is not just to bless us with healing and provision and all the good things of God, but it's to you anoint us to be able to help others. In fact, there was false teachers saying, you can't hear anything from God. You have to listen to us. And in the book, in one of John's epistles, he says, you have an anointing from the Spirit rests upon you. When Jesus was talking, he says, when you stand before kings and governors, don't think about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you words to say. And so I realized somebody might say, I don't know what questions to ask. I don't know how to do this. As you pray, trust in the anointing of the Holy Spirit to give you the words to speak. One of my favorite parts of the Old Testament is in Exodus chapter 4, when Moses is called by God. He says, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses says, I can't talk. And God says, I'll be with your mouth. I'll teach you what to say. I'll be with your mouth, and I'll show you what to do. And that holds true for us. God will be with our mouth. He'll teach us what to say. He'll be with our mouth, and he will show us what to do. I want you to take a look at the next step section at the bottom of your page. Everyone take it. Hold your insert up. Wave it at me. I want you to take a look at this. It's easy for us just to walk out a lot of times and not put action, put footsteps to what we've been hearing. But we want to be hearers of the word and not doers. We want to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Yeah, I got that flipped around, didn't I? We want to be doers of the word. So the first one there says, I'm ready to become a follower of Christ. And many of us here, we've had people listen to us, to our struggles. They asked us questions. Or we ask questions, and in time, we came to know Christ because people listen to us and they ask questions. And there may be some of you here today, you've been searching, you've been asking questions, you've been wondering, and maybe you'd say, you know, I'm still not ready. As I said earlier, I had questions. There is never a compulsion for you to follow Jesus. God wants a relationship with you. He's not trying to push something into you. But there might be some of you, as you've been asking questions, as you've been studying, as you've been learning, as people have been listening to you, and you're learning stuff, you're sensing God wanting to enter a relationship with you. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come to him and dine with him and he with me. And maybe you've been hearing Jesus knocking. You've been listening to that. And you know today that you're ready to receive Christ. You're ready for that relationship. You're ready for the ABCs of salvation. Yeah, I admit I'm a sinner. I realize that God is perfect and I've done a lot of bad things. I need his forgiveness. B, I believe Jesus died for my sin. I mean, that's why a perfect God would send his son from a perfect heaven to come to an earth filled with suffering and sickness and then have him have 9-inch nails be driven through his hands. I mean, why did God have Jesus die? He died for my sin. I believe that. And see, I confess my sin. I need forgiveness. I confess my need for Jesus to lead my life. If that's you, I want you to take your pen and I want you to circle number one there, okay? Just everyone should have a pen in their hand because you should circle one of these, all right? It'd be good to circle one of these. But if you're ready to receive Christ, just go ahead and circle that, okay? Now, these next three next steps, these are to help us apply and grow in the arts of listening and asking questions. So number two is to people watch. Spend 15 minutes in a public place, maybe a coffee shop, the mall, the library, or if you travel a lot and you find yourself hanging out in the airport, you can do that in an airport. And just be curious about the people you notice. Ask yourself, I wonder what their life is like. I wonder what their dreams are. I wonder what their struggles are. I wonder what do they believe. I wonder, when has their life been hard? When it has been fulfilling? And if you even want to jot down a few observations, just as you watch people, no, don't be stalkerish and go, you know, don't just stare at him, you know, that's just creepy, man, that's not right, but people watch, all right? People watch. That's the second thing. If you feel like maybe that's something God's saying, hey, I just want you to observe more people, slow down and observe more people, circle that one. Number three is ask and listen. Ask and listen. Spend a little time with one person and practice asking questions based on your curiosity. This can be someone you work with, maybe someone you go to school with, maybe you go to the same cafe every day, or you go to the same gym, you work out together, and maybe in between sets, you're going to ask them a question. And we have a lot of people here at Radius. You're new to Casper, so you're just developing relationships. So maybe you're going to ask an informing question. Hey, I see you wearing that Red Sox shirt. Are you a Red Sox fan? Yeah? Well, how did you get to be a Red Sox fan up here in Wyoming? You just ask an informing question, genuine curiosity, and you're just starting to build that bridge, to build that relationship with them. Maybe some of you, you hear them say something about God or about something, you've got a little bit more of a relationship built, and you can say, hey, I noticed you said this. Unpack that for me. Tell me about that. Why do you feel that way? Why do you think that way? And just ask questions. Begin to ask questions and see where the Holy Spirit leads conversation. And then the last step of action that we can take is to memorize James 1:19 when he said, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to... That was very good. You were slow to speak when you said that. So that's good. You got the next part right. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why are we memorizing Scripture? Because I think many of us, maybe we might realize, you know what, I know a lot of the lines from my favorite movie. I've got them memorized. Or the lyrics of the songs I listen to the radio. Now maybe some of you aren't into music and movies, but you know all the stats of your favorite fantasy team players. Or you can still remember the names and birth order of the 19 Duggar children and now their grandchildren. You know that. Now, there's nothing wrong with us memorizing that information. It's not bad. But you know, how does it really help us? When we memorize Scripture, we're helping things that can transform our life. The Word of God is quick, living, and powerful, and it transforms our life. And so this can help us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And I don't know about you, but I can use help in all three of those areas. So that's a good verse to memorize. All of these things that I'm giving you, and these are assignments, I'm not trying to keep you busy. What I'm praying is that God uses these practical next steps to help us grow in the arts of spiritual conversations, so that our family and friends that are outside of God's family can come to know the goodness, love, forgiveness, and leadership of Jesus Christ. I want you to take your card this morning with the commitments you've circled. I want you just to hold it in your hand. Everyone hold your hand. I'm going to pray for you for this commitment that you've made. If you've checked one or more, I want to pray for that. Father God, I thank you right now for loving us. God, we know that you love us because you sought us out like you sought out Adam and Eve when we were sinners. You knocked on the door of our heart. You want a relationship with us, and we thank you, Jesus, for that. I thank you for hearing us. When we've cried out to you for grace, you've given forgiveness. For sickness, you've given healing. For depression, you've given friendship. God, for fear, you've given faith. God, for confusion, you've given us wisdom. I thank you that you love us. And God, as we take these commitments now, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to be like you. People that listen, people that ask questions. We don't just do all the talking. We aren't the Bible answer men. But Lord, we genuinely love and care about other people. I ask, Father God, as we watch people, you'd help us to notice things about them and then to pray for them. God, as we ask people questions this week, we would listen, and your Spirit will teach us and give us other questions to ask, things that can go deeper. God, as we memorize Scripture, we would be people who are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. We've got the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Change us, O God. Change us, O God.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.